Hello, and welcome to Season 4 of the Dialogue on Dialogue podcast. I'm your host, Phil Reject. This season, you'll hear from some amazing speakers giving prepared speeches, and then we'll talk about what it is that makes a speech great. And all of this is in an effort to make the world a better place, one conversation at a time. All right, welcome. I am Phil Reject, and welcome to the Dialogue on Dialogue podcast. I am trying something incredibly new and a little bit scary that today. Today, I'm actually doing a Zoom recording. So I have with me Didi Obak. She is helping me out with a Toastmasters project. It's a level 4 project for those in the know, and it is about starting a podcast. And I am resurrecting my Dialogue on Dialogue podcast from the elephant graveyard of podcasts. And so hopefully this will work out well, and I hopefully you will all learn a little bit of something. Didi was a finalist, as was I, for the District 35 International Speech Contest. To get to this point, just to give you an idea, everybody has to go through this is the third time they were competing. So at different levels, a little bit about District 35, it has 22 areas. And then within those 22 areas, there's a total of 92 clubs. So what that means, and not every club had a contest, but what it means when you get down to those final seven or eight people, it means that these speeches were all really good. It didn't matter who these people were, what they were talking about. In order to get this far, they had to go through already two levels of speech contest. And so they're all fantastic. So what my hope is by talking with Didi, listening to her speech, having you all hear and see and listen to her speech, that we can all learn a little bit of something about Didi, about her speech, and also about what it means to give a good speech. So with that, Didi, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm excited to be here.
All right. So Didi's speech, and we'll find out more, we'll talk more about it afterwards, but her speech title was How to Be a Superhero. So Didi, with that, I'm going to turn the mic over to you and have at it.
All right, thank you. Have you ever tried a do-it-yourself home improvement project? I love tackling all sorts of projects around my house. I've taken on simple projects like painting or hanging curtains, all the way up to more complicated projects like replacing light fixtures, swapping out electrical outlets. I've even installed several three-way light switches. If you don't know, those can be really tricky. All of these projects have taught me that there are three stages to every single one. So I want to see if you recognize yourself as going through these same stages that I go through. Stage one, enthusiasm. Every project starts with enthusiasm. This is where I get the brilliant idea that I can do something all by myself. I get excited by the idea of accomplishing something. Recently, I was in my kitchen and I flipped the switch for my garbage disposal and nothing happened. It just stopped working. My garbage disposal wasn't the greatest anyway, and I was like, you know what? I can replace that. It's not going to be too hard. But while I'm at it, I really don't like my sink. It has two bowls, and I want one nice big one. I've never replaced a sink, but how hard can it be? I watched some videos, I read some articles, I can do this. So I headed off to the hardware store, and I thought I purchased everything I needed, and I got back home, and I got to work. Taking out the old sink, no problem. Putting the new sink in, no problem. Installing the new garbage disposal, no problem. Changing the plumbing to go from two drains to one, big problem. Enter stage two, frustration. With every project, there is always a setback. As I'm staring at this area underneath my sink, I realize I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't have the right tools. I don't have the right supplies. I don't even know what I need. What was I thinking? At this point, I'm questioning everything, questioning my whole existence. And I start to wonder, how much is this going to cost to get somebody else to come finish this project? Fortunately for me, I live across the street from not one, but two plumbers. Unfortunately for me, they were both out of town. I was so frustrated. So I just decided to give up. I'm going to wait until one of these plumbers can come rescue me. So I plopped down on the couch, I ordered some pizza, and I start watching TV. After a little while, the pizza was gone. I was still sitting on the couch watching TV. But I started scrolling through some pictures on my phone. I had taken pictures of the plumbing before I took it all apart. There's a good tip, by the way. As I'm scrolling, I saw it. The answer. Enter stage three, momentum. Looking at those pictures, I saw how that plumbing needed to go together so that it would actually work. I knew exactly what I needed from the store so that I could finish this project. I jumped off the couch and I practically flew to the hardware store. And once I got there, I realized that in my excitement, I left my wallet at home. So I turned the car around and I was headed right back to stage two frustration. Oh, but before I got too far, I realized that I had a few things that I had to return because I hadn't needed them and I had them with me. So I grabbed my receipt and my bag of extra parts. And by returning those, I got more than enough store credit that I could purchase the last couple of items I needed. So I got back home and I was on a roll. This pipe here, that connector there. And a few minutes later, I did it. Because I can do anything. I am a superhero. I love my new sink. I love my new garbage disposal. The water runs perfectly. The disposal works great. And most importantly, that drain doesn't leak. If you think about it, these three stages, enthusiasm, frustration, and momentum, they apply to so many other things. A new job, a new hobby, trying to start a new healthy habit. When you start something new, you are excited and you have an idea of what you want to achieve and where you want to get to. And there is nothing that's going to stop you. Oftentimes, though, there is some kind of setback and it makes us doubt our abilities and we question, why did I even bother this in the first place? We get frustrated and we want to give up. And to get past those setbacks, sometimes you need to ask for help, and that's okay. Or maybe you just need to take a break, eat some pizza, and then try again. Once you overcome that setback and you get that momentum to move forward, you feel proud, invincible, and heroic. It's in that moment where you feel like a superhero that you ask yourself, what's next? There you go. Here's my speech.
Thank you very much. That's such a fun speech. All right.
Thank you.
Let's see. I had questions down, but then I was also, as you were going through it, I was like, oh, I gotta ask about that. The first one, I think the most important question is, as on a percentage up to 100, like how truthful is the incident that was described in your story?
I would say it's about 99% true.
Okay. So
I think the things that I left out were how many times I had to go back to the store. Yeah.
when this event was happening, were you thinking, well, this is awful at times? I'm sure you had that like the frustration part, the point too, but were you also thinking like, oh, this will make a good speech someday?
I don't think I was thinking about it in a speech term.
Okay.
But I was thinking about how I just get frustrated because every time I try something, something happens.
Yeah. So it's, you know, December, January, they're like, all right, speech contest coming up. Walk us through, like, how did you come up with this? Like, this is going to be my speech topic. This is how I'm going to frame it. Like, do you remember at all the process you went through in developing that?
Yeah. And when this first occurred, all it really turned, like, when I was finished with my sync, I posted it on Facebook because I was so proud and I needed to brag. And then I wrote about these four stages because it was at that point that I came up with those four stages. And it was just like a little infographic. Uh-huh. But then later on, I actually have a group on Facebook and a not very active blog about making healthy choices. And okay. I thought that those stages really apply to that. And that's where it came from, that healthy habit. So I kind of expanded on it from that perspective, that pushing past those setbacks whenever you feel like you fail when you're trying something new. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of expanded from there and I wrote a little bit more about it for that purpose, for that group. And when it came to speech time, I actually originally was going to do a completely different speech. And I had adapted a speech that had a purpose for researching and presenting what you've researched. You've probably had that project.
Yep.
And I felt like it was a little too, in feedback that I got, it was a little too like I was being a teacher.
Sure.
And so I thought, okay, maybe I'll pull something else out. And that's why I picked this one, because I thought it was something that a lot of people could really relate to.
Yeah. No, and I
love
get
to brag about my awesome plumbing skills.
How long ago did it occur? Like, was it like, when did you actually switch out the sink?
It was actually probably about 2 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my speech as well, was like something that happened. And actually with my speech, it was this like idea that I had to start a company. I don't know if you were able to listen to it, because when the contest is going on, I was so like in the zone that I didn't really even hear anybody else's speeches, just heard little snippets of them. But it was something that I was actually embarrassed about. If you had, like, 5 years ago, I was still embarrassed about this thing that happened 5 years prior. But now I'm to the point where I'm like, oh, whatever, it'll make a good speech, or it'll make a speech. But that's awesome. So what within your speech itself, you've practiced this, you know, probably 100 times. You've given it in front of other people multiple times. What do you really like about it? Like, what is the part when you're given the speech that you're like, oh, I like this part. This is the part. I mean, you actually are, you know, you do a really good job of your gestures and your motions, but you can tell there are parts that you light up a little more. So like you're ready for those parts of the speech and excited for them while you're giving them. But are there parts that you think about that you're like, all right, I really like this part of the speech, or like how that came together?
I really think that I like I said, bragging about my awesome plumbing skills. But also I think whenever I can kind of get a reaction from the audience, mm-hmm. like when I talk about forgetting my wallet at home.
Yeah. Yep.
I imagine that's another thing that's hopefully fairly relatable for people.
Right.
And like when I get, like, I was just so frustrated with myself and I couldn't believe it. And again, it was like probably the third or fourth time I had been back to the store. And so I think those are the kind of things where I can get that feedback from the audience and get that reaction.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. Like I've had those experiences where you're just like, you're so frustrated that, again, like you order the pizza and you just sit on the couch. Like you make whatever the situation that's bad, like I'm just going to make this worse by just like, you know, totally vegging out. And then I had to order
pizza because my kitchen was a disaster. I couldn't use my sink. I was like, well, that's it.
No, I think that's along those same lines. Are there anything now from the speech that you gave at your first contest until the district contest, were there any things, or even while you were practicing it? So I'll kind of preface this a little bit. The first time when I had my speech ready, like what I'm doing it was probably 25 minutes long or something insanely, you know, were there parts of your speech that you're like, oh, you had to make those hard decisions about, I got to cut this out because it's for the contest, for those who aren't aware, it's a 5 to 7 minute speech, which really goes by quite quick when you are laying out the different elements of a good speech. So were there parts that you were, you know, you wish you could have worked in, or that you were kind of like on the fence or thought about as you're going through it?
I didn't actually have to end up cutting anything. I almost kind of had the opposite problem.
Okay.
And when it's, I think, you know, a story that is so kind of close to you and you've lived through it, and I get excited and I talk fast. So I had to just kind of learn to slow down, let, you know, use those pauses so the audience can hear what you actually said and take it in and react. So I think that I kind of had that opposite. I didn't really have to cut it down. I just had to slow it down.
Yep. And those are like, when you can do that, that's so cool because it makes everything you're saying more, I don't know, gives it more punch. It seems like, are there any parts of your speech that, I don't want you to have to be like, you can say no to this, but are there parts of your speech that you think are clunky, or that you, I wish there would have been just a different way where I could have, you know, molded a part of it a little bit different? Anything, any, if you had any thoughts, obviously once you're in the flow of it, you're just going to go with what you got because you can't change it. But in hindsight, you're kind of like, oh, I may have done something a little bit different here or there. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know if there's like maybe a better way for me to kind of transition to my point that those stages can actually apply to things besides home improvement projects. So maybe at the beginning, if I tie it into something different and then I give the story and tie it back. So I think that's maybe something that would kind of bring it full circle.
Yeah.
Because I think I just kind of stuck that in on the end. And by the way, this can apply to your life.
Although I think your speech, so you got a great story, but you also have a great conclusion. You maybe yes, it can apply to other places in your life, but your like summary at the end, I thought was so often, like, this is one of my problems is that I'll give a speech and then my conclusion is basically how fast can I end this and get off the stage, you know? And so that's the end. That's in conclusion, that's the conclusion, you know,
right.
one of those. But yeah, I really thought that you're, bringing it all together actually works really well, but
thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, I'll just give a quick kind of description again, if anybody is listening who doesn't understand, the speech contests for Toastmasters are really rigid, especially the higher up you go. Everything is formulaic in terms of how the speeches are announced, the time, how they're judged, which makes for fairness across the entire world, essentially, for Toastmasters. So it means that somebody doing a speech in India is playing by the same rules as somebody in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or Racine, Wisconsin. Tell me a little bit about your contests, about your different journey as you were going through it. Now you were in person, right? Correct, or were you virtual? I'm trying to remember for the district contest.
Now I was in person at the district, but all the contests leading up to it were virtual.
Okay. Do you think your speech, did you like it better in person, or was it all of a sudden like, okay, now I'm on a stage, which is a little bit different than how I've been practicing it for the last X number of times? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I definitely had to change things for the in-person contest. You know, when you're on this little screen, this is your stage.
Yeah.
And so I try to do all my gestures right here, and I maybe hit some, maybe didn't. But when you're on stage and we were being recorded to be sent in for the next level, you really have to make those gestures really big for the stage. And so that was, I think, one of the main differences. And again, when you're virtual, you have, you know, you only have so much room to use your space. So that was something that was a little different in person, actually having a stage and making your gestures big and visible.
Do you think I don't know. It's hard to probably judge this because you're the one giving it, but do you think your speech, do you think it was a better speech virtually, or do you think it was a better, like, if everybody's virtual, does your speech stand out more virtual, or do you think your speech, because of it is a very animated speech in general, and you seem like a fairly animated person, it really should have been an in-person speech from the day one, and that's the thought on that?
I think I'm very comfortable virtually. I'm very comfortable sitting here in my basement where I also work most of the time. But I do think that my speech had a little bit more impact in person, maybe not so much the speech itself, but getting that feedback from the audience, it's really hard virtually. Like, you don't necessarily see the nods in the audience or the smiles, and you don't see, you know, your your fellow club members that are there to support you saying, yeah, you got this.
Yeah.
You don't really see that. You just see this little screen and maybe a timer on your screen. So I think that in person, you really get to feed more off that audience reaction. And you can kind of sense even for those pauses, like how long do I need to pause? Right. Oh, they're still laughing because I'm hilarious. I need to wait a little longer. Or you don't get that virtually because everybody's muted and you know you don't see your audience so much. So it makes a big difference, I think. But I'm comfortable with both.
Yeah. Now, do you have anything memorable that happened and or occurred during your contest, different contests?
Actually, in the second contest that I was in, so I had made it past the area contest.
Okay.
And I actually got second in the area. And so both first and second went on to division. But I didn't realize that until the last minute.
Oh.
And I was actually in Arizona visiting my parents on the day of the division contest. And it started pretty early, and it's a lot earlier in Arizona.
Oh.
So I am grateful, though, that my dad is very technologically advanced, has the whole setup. So I was able to use all of his equipment. I really just rolled out of bed and got on the camera. I'm still in my pajamas. Nobody could tell. But that to me was like, and I was just kind of like, well, I didn't even know I was going to be here. I'll just throw, you know, do my best. And then I ended up winning that one.
That's so awesome.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. I had a similar situation with the division is, this was my setup. Like I've got like a backdrop and I've got like a camera set up and I've got a big screen there. Like I have a good setup. And then my son was graduating from college. And so we were down in Florida where he was graduating on the day of the division contest. And I had to like, all right, everybody out. I went to my son's graduation and then I just basically kicked everybody else out because, you know, in the bathroom, they had like our bathroom that in the hotel had a bathroom, but then it also had a little like where the sink was, there's like a separate room for the, and so I was basically in the bathroom, you know, trying to make this work, but yeah.
We do what we have to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
And how neat is it that we are able to get to that level with being in different locations and having that flexibility? It's pretty lucky.
Yeah, it is very cool. And you would have been, so you've been in Toastmasters for 6 years. So you knew what pre-COVID looked like for Toastmasters.
Yeah.
And I mean, there, you know, of all the terrible things that COVID gave us, it, one of the positive things is that now we are all versed in these virtual, this wouldn't have been possible, right? It wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have been something that we could do. You're an experienced speaker. You know, speeches are meant to look effortlessly, but there's a lot of thought that goes into the techniques and tips that are in there. Are there any special techniques that you were thinking about that? I mean, I know I saw several of them, but is there anything that you want to say in terms of things that made the speech more poignant for the people listening?
I think so. When I first gave this speech, and actually when I first wrote about it, there were actually four steps. And that fourth step was that superhero. And there's a kind of a common thread in speech writing that you should really have 3 points. So I felt like 4 was too many. So I kind of changed it to really be 3 stages. And it makes it a little bit more compact and I think easier for people to digest and remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I just figured this way, the superhero is the destination.
Right.
So that's one thing I changed from when I first kind of wrote it and from the first time I actually gave the speech to where it ended up in the contest. And the other thing was definitely learning how to use those pauses a bit more. And there were some kind of gestures that I worked in that maybe weren't there at the beginning, where some feedback that I got from people, I think again, because I'm so used to living in this little square, that learning different gestures to make, like the remote for the TV, or scrolling
the
through
light
my
switch.
Phone.
Yeah.
The switch. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's what I was going to ask. Sometimes some people have those naturally, and some people really have to practice and make a conscious effort. Where you, it seems, some of your gestures just look so natural that you must just naturally be a very good at gestures. But some of them, obviously, like the light switch, or you know, some of the other ones, were put in intentionally, but didn't look like they were put in intentionally.
It's a skill that I've worked on quite a bit. I think if you were my first speeches, I was probably holding a piece of paper and shaking. So to be able to kind of drop that paper, and then you've got to figure out, what do I do with my hands?
For your employment, do you have to be on Zoom a fair amount, or like, do you have meetings virtually?
I do, yeah.
So do you ever find, I can almost tell when I'm on a virtual meeting with somebody who has perhaps either been in Toastmasters or like who either really naturally good or they've actually worked at it. Do you feel like a lot of that may even carry over into your, like your job?
Absolutely. Some of your,
yeah.
I think it's pretty easy to tell sometimes when somebody is comfortable talking on camera, even like where they're looking. Like there's some meetings that we have where I can tell somebody just must be surrounded by monitors because they're
Looking.
Or there's actually, I've been doing a lot of interviews. We have some open positions at my company. So I've been doing a lot of online interviews lately. And one guy, I just interviewed the top half of his face. And so there's these little things that I think have become, a lot more just natural for me being in front of the camera.
It's almost like you want to just tell the people, like, I want to help you be successful. Let me see your whole face
move the screen just a little or back up.
Yeah, exactly. Turn off the TV in the background or something like that. Yeah. Well, that's great. Okay. So the only other, I think, question that I was going to pose, we can kind of start wrapping this up, was contests in general. You said you have done some other types of contests. How do you feel that contests help the journey of somebody trying to improve their public speaking, whether it be most likely in Toastmasters, because I don't know where else you get to go to compete, but what do you think contests have done for you and maybe what you've seen for other people?
I think one of the biggest payoffs for me for doing contests is competing with people like you who have amazing speeches. I think when you compete against people who are really good, you watch what they do and you learn from them and you get to see how did they do that. And that was even the whole reason why I participated in the evaluation contest 1 year, because evaluations are really important in Toastmasters. Mm-hmm. And that's an area that I didn't think I was very good at. And so I knew by being in a contest, I would force myself to learn how to be better at it. And so I remember doing like research and watching evaluations just so I could prepare kind of ideas on how I would structure an evaluation. And we get a lot of practice in our clubs too.
Yeah.
But I wanted to watch that other people give evaluations and what do they do at the contest level? Because I think too, in our clubs, if you have members that have been there for a while, sometimes the evaluations get pretty similar.
Right.
And so when you have different groups of people evaluating, you get to see completely different styles.
Yeah.
So that was one where I think I just learned a great deal in watching the other evaluators in the contest, like watching them do their evaluations. I was like, wow, that was terrific. And it gave me pointers on how I could be better.
So for me, I would say that we're really fortunate in my home club that we have amazing speakers. And so it's almost like if I can get out of the club, then I know my speech must be worth its salt. Do you feel like you've had really good competition the whole way? Or we've also had years where it's kind of been like, all right, we'll all get together. Who wants to give a speech to the speech con? Okay, you can go. You get to be the person, So how, you stacked up when I don't want to be demeaning to anybody else's speeches, but do you feel like at every level you were competing, it was like everybody was bringing their A game and it was a difficult journey?
Yeah, I think at every level, people are bringing their A game.
Yeah.
And I think it's really neat to see people push themselves. And I think we get really comfortable doing speeches in our clubs. But when it's a contest, like it really does kind of elevate the whole, I'm going to push myself just a little bit harder than I maybe normally would. And so I think everybody brings it because they know it can go somewhere. So.
Yeah. I have speeches that I've given while in Toastmasters that I just loved. Like, even if it was just a club speech, like I just loved that speech. And the speech I gave at this contest, which I liked it, it was a good speech, but you know, it, like when it was over, I wasn't, oh, I missed that speech. Was this speech for you the one, like, were you like, or was it, this is a good speech, this does well in contests, but I'm happy to look for the next great speech that I can give. Like, what was your mindset about your relationship with the speech itself in terms of how you felt about it?
This one, I think there's a speech that I did from my very first contest, which at the club level, I took third, so I didn't move on. But I thought that speech was really good too. It was another one that I thought had a really good point about, it was about kind of changing your mindset to not react negative to something that might usually make you angry or something like that. And, you know, and I thought about it too, like, I was like, maybe I should resurrect that, but it didn't win last time. So maybe I need this one. And I feel like this one is like kind of a lot more positive, and it still has a good message. And I think the other one had a good message too, but it was maybe a little too negative.
Okay. Yeah. One of the Milwaukee clubs was like, were just offered up to have us give speeches. Anybody who, this would have been maybe at the division area, whatever it was. So I just had an opportunity to give my speech another time. And I got feedback at that one. The feedback that I got was very positive about the speech, but it was somebody who was basically who's, you know, high up in district, like one of the leadership in district. And they're like, it's a great speech, but this isn't the kind of speech that wins as you go up the level. And at first I was like, that's not right. But then I'm like, yeah, I know, like in a way, you know, that the ones that really, they're a little punchier, there's a little more meaning in them.
They have to make you cry.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the ones that...
Right. And then like, you know, that surprise humor, and I was doing it all virtually. So humor is also, that was my other feedback. Like, we were laughing, but you were then talking because you didn't know we were laughing, you know, one of those. So I guess that'll get me to my final question that I have for you are there more speech contests in DD's future?
I think so. I think that I've got this first major one underneath my belt. I making it all the way to this district level was pretty exciting. And it was fun competing at that stage. And again, like, we had some amazing speeches and competitors at that level. Like, I thought everybody just did phenomenal. Like, they were all fantastic. And it was fun getting that experience. I'm really proud of myself. I think when I gave that speech at the district, it was the best time. Like, it was my best, I guess, performance of that speech.
Sure, best delivery, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm really proud of myself for doing that, you know, having come from somebody who several years ago, before I started Toastmasters, if I had to speak in a big meeting, I would get physically sick. So to have that kind of journey, and I want to go farther. It'd be awesome to make it to international and to get to go to, you know, have somebody else pay for my way to the international conference.
You know, with our luck though, the year we get to international, it's in like East Moline or something like that, you know. All expense paid trip to Rockford, you know.
You got to plan it right. Right. Where is it next year? Okay, I'll do the contest.
Right. The Bahamas was the year to try to go all in, I think. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. So, Didi, I wanted to say thank you for taking the time. What you just said there really was something that I want to reiterate. Like, it wasn't hard for me to come up with an idea of who would be some people, interesting people to talk to in terms of giving speeches. It was everybody who was present at that district contest. So I'm super grateful, and please feel free to call on me if there's anything I can ever do for you or your club. But I wish you the best, and hopefully we'll meet again someday soon on the district contest stage.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. This was fun.
All right.
Have a good night.
Yeah. You as well.